big welcome back into the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with my co-host, Jay Randolph Jr. Well, first things first, Jay, pass me some sake.
What a moment for the game. What a moment for the country of Japan, and what a moment for Hideki Matsuyama. There's no doubt about it. A lot of people had thought about the promise of this young man and Bob, what it would mean to the Far East and what it would mean to him if he could get a major championship, and he got it. He got it in a big way on Sunday.
You know what's amazing, Jay, as you accurately said, if he could get a major, but I think in Japan, probably the biggest major to Hideki has to be the Masters.
I agree totally. I don't think there's any question about it that it probably is the most significant. I mean, in the mid-80s, a guy would win a major and people would say, oh, that's worth $5 million to him. And his purse would have maybe been $400,000, $500,000, but the endorsement's $5 million. Well, when you throw in the country of Japan and that region and the money and the passion for the game, I mean, people are honestly saying, Bob, that that's a billion-dollar victory. Now, let's just stop there and just say it's a $500 million victory. Let's just take half of it. I mean, he's the Tiger Woods of the Far East.
Yeah, I agree that he's probably bigger in Japan than if Tiger went back there right now. And
yeah, you're right.
And what amazed me, talk a little bit about his actions. I assumed they'd have a Japanese airline, decked out with everything just for him. But his flight home was a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I think when people started seeing the pictures of him in Japan and then in O'Hare with the jacket draped over him, I think people were like, what's going on here? Did they know about net jets or something? I think because it just the way it occurred, I mean, I'm sure somebody would have loved to have had JAL, Japan Airlines, would have loved to have been there and flown right into Augusta and grabbed him or something, but yeah, I mean, it kind of made him a little normal to some people, especially with the aspect of having, I believe, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure for the first time, an interpreter in Butler Kaplan with the champion. So, it was a fascinating study from the time after the delay on Saturday to his final putt on 18. Pretty wild.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I mean, but he actually, for people not familiar with him, 29 years old, actually a family man, married with a 4-year-old girl. One of the reporters last week asked him, Hideki, do you have a child? And he said, yes, I have a 4-year-old daughter. And the reporter said, why didn't you ask me? Why didn't you tell me that? He said, you never asked me. I mean, that's how modest this guy is.
And you really think about it, Bob, we seem to kind of know a little bit or in some cases a lot about, big time players. And I didn't know he had a child. I didn't know that. In fact, I didn't even really know he was married. He's kind of been hit and miss and really was showed up on the radar 4 or 5 years ago. And has somewhat been MIA in terms of big events. But, boy, did he rise to the occasion this week. And congratulations to him. What a moment in time for Hideki.
Yeah, what a moment in time for golf. Here's the Masters introduction for the newest member of the Masters Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my distinct honor to welcome our 2021 Masters champion, our first champion from Japan, Hideki Matsuyama.
Well, other than Hideki, there certainly were a few bright sparks. Let's start with the guy you touted heavily, Will Zalatoris. What a breath of fresh air he is.
Well, you know, there's some lineage with the fact that he played his collegiate golf at Wake Forest for Jerry Haas, who at a young age was exposed to the Masters tournament, thanks in large part to his uncle, the 1968 Masters champion, Bob Golby, and clearly his brother, Jay Haas. And I knew he had played there. And again, this is a guy that, quote unquote, technically doesn't even have PGA Tour status. It was remarkable. Bob, for the second consecutive year, a first-timer finishes second. Sung J.M. did it a year ago, and Zalatoris does it this year. Let's hear from the man that a year ago, nobody knew, unless you were a Wake Forest or an amateur golf fan, or a golf geek, you know?
Yeah, absolute dream. You know, to be in this situation, I've been dreaming about it for 20 years. So I thought I did a really good job this week of just enjoying the moment, but not letting it get to me. You know, I think I'd kind of let everything soak in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, you know, back to work on Thursday. So it was an absolute treat, and obviously to come up one short and be disappointed is motivating, but obviously very exciting. You know, you always think about those one or two, but, you know, like I said, the fact I put myself in contention and was able to handle it and be in the final group in my third major in my entire career is obviously really exciting. But it was a lot of fun, obviously, hearing a lot of the patrons over the last, especially the last couple of days, saying my name, you know, cheering me on every single hole between every single shot. Was really special. That's, you know, you, when you think of playing in this tournament, you think of the shots, but, you know, hearing the patrons rooting for you just because, you know, they know that I'm the underdog was really cool. You know, I've watched this tournament for as long as I can remember, and the fact that I was a part of it is pretty special, and the fact that I contended is even cooler.
Good stuff from the kid that's now, he's now 27th, Bob. In the world, 27th in the world. And again, you had to be a golf geek to know who this guy was last June.
I mean, not to Will. He was dreaming about the Masters since he was 4 years old. And I loved his philosophy. He said, nervous? Are you kidding me? I wanted to be here almost my entire life. Now that I'm here, I'm going to be nervous? No way. What an attitude to take. And Jay, let me ask you this, and I'm relying on your expertise as a player, and you did play collegiate. Is he the real deal?
I think so. And I say that because I really like his free flowing swing. There doesn't seem to be a lot of different parts to it. He seems to be very confident around the greens. You know, I don't want to, I don't think we can put him in that class of the Wolf and Morikawa and Vic Hovland yet. I just don't know that he's there, but boy, oh boy. I mean, he just isn't missing beats. I mean, he just keeps getting a better resume. So, it looks like he's going to be around for a long time, Bob.
I wonder when the last time somebody with a 28-inch waist contended for a Masters green jacket.
I mean, maybe Radar Reed back in the day had a good opening round. I mean, you got to dig real hard if you're going to go to a 28.
That's for sure. Well, somebody that probably cried himself down to being a 28th, and that's Xander Schauffele, and he came apart on that 16th hole. Let's listen to what Xander says about playing the par 3 16th.
Man, he was something else. He played like a winner needs to play. He was like a robot. Couldn't shake him for, I mean, not that I was going to scare him. I was 9 back at one point, I think, or 7 back. And I think, you know, 16, I really would have loved to put more pressure on him there and basically gave him the term at that point. I never gave up. It was pretty wild, I'd say. Kind of a weird start. It almost took the edge off. I knew the first through five, if you could be even par, it'd be a really good score. And I managed to, you know, play five the way I did all week, which was five over for the week, maybe, or even worse. And I fought hard. You know, I feel like I made it exciting there at the end. Hit a really good shot there on 16. I committed to it. I hit a perfect shot. We thought it was down left to right. It was not down left to right. And the rest is history. I'm playing really well. I knew I have a lot of birdies in me, which I did, and I can hold my head up high.
You know, Jay, I have to disagree that he played 16 the way it should have been played.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for self-confidence and you know, maybe it was kind of the shot you wanted to play, but it was not a perfect shot, as he used the term. You know, it would have been so interesting to see Hideki, if Xander would have hit the green, just hit the green, not asking for him to close. It was a poor shot at the wrong time, and he's right. He did fight. I mean, this thing, let's be honest, on Sunday for a great part of the Masters, it was one of the most boring Masters in recent memory. There weren't the roars on Sunday. There weren't the charges. Then Hideki makes the mistake at 15, and we've got a whole new ball game. And unfortunately, the wrong shot at the wrong time for Xander Schauffele. But, I mean, again, he has proven now at Augusta that he loves it. And he's proven in majors. I mean, all he's missing is that major. And he keeps putting himself in good positions. You've got to think the experience here and putting that heat on Hideki, and then maybe to a certain extent not handling it as well as he would have liked to on 16, even though he's telling you he hit the perfect shot, is going to be good for him in the near future. And I don't think it matters what major venue they're at. Xander Schauffele's game seems to translate all over the place.
Good point there, Jay. And you were talking a lot about Jordan Spieth having an affinity for Augusta National. He put that on display. And, well, let's listen to what Jordan had to say following his round.
Just needed a really good start to have a chance today. Just didn't have a great start. And then it was just kind of the story of the week. I hit some good putts. Burned a lot of lips. Certainly struck the ball well enough this week to win the golf tournament, and they just didn't go in. Certainly had them go in here plenty of times. So I'm tired. I felt some mental fatigue for sure, and made a couple bonehead mistakes over the weekend, just from I think maybe the long stretch. And but all in all, certainly another good finish here. I wish that I had the control of my swing that I hope is coming, or I think is coming soon, because it would have made things a little easier this week. And I did strike the ball really well, but, you know, I hit a lot of fairways. I put myself in position to hit a lot of greens, and then distance control is a strength of mine with iron play, and I did a good job of that. So, all in all, I've made a lot of good progress, but I feel like that road ahead is still significant for me. So I've got at least a couple weeks off right now where I'll rest for a while and then regroup and see if I can get off weeks or where you can make maybe 5% differences. Tournament to tournament, it's hard to go more than a couple percent in trust on what you're doing. So I'll have a good stretch coming up here in the month of May and June, and I'm excited for what's to come.
Of course, Jordan, beginning for that grand slam of his own if he wins that PGA at Kiawah Island.
Well, and I hope to tell you, his game is trending so in the right direction, it's almost scary. And to hear him say that he needs to hit the ball better, if he hits the ball any better, he's going to start winning by 4 and 5 shots. This was a guy that was number one in the world, or has been number one in the world, for 210 weeks. On January 1st of 2021, he was 82nd in the world. He's now up to what, Bob? 29th. you know, you and I talked for a year or two about what has happened to Jordan Spieth. Where is he at? I mean, this stretch since he missed the cut at Torrey Pines has been unbelievable. And his confidence is there, and he's going to be very dangerous at Kiowa. And he would love to get the Grand Slam before Rory McIlroy and a very way outside shot, Phil Mickelson.
Well, you brought up the name Rory McIlroy. We were going to talk about it later, but I think maybe now's a good time. I don't know. I don't have a clue of what happened to Rory McIlroy's game. I've said all along, I cling to it, that in my opinion, he has the most talent to play this game than anybody out there, but nothing's coming out of the bag.
No, and some of his reactions are a little surprising. I'm a little surprised he's not more upset. But I like you, Bob. I'm at kind of a loss. I don't have any reason or rationale to say exactly what's the problem. We talked about 2 years ago when he was so consistent and had a lot of good tournaments but didn't fire at the majors. And you thought maybe that would lead him to maybe being more ready for the majors last year. That was not the case. Your hope was, well, Rory's not playing that good, but it's Rory and it's Augusta, and maybe it'll fire. It didn't. And it didn't fire for Dustin Johnson. And my boy Rom, who, yeah, he's going to get one, but he missed a golden opportunity here. Just too many mistakes along the way for 372s and then a final round 66 to finish at 6 under par. So, you know, it's a hard game, and it's hard to really realize, it's hard to believe that DJ and Rory could play so poorly, and Patrick Cantlay, another, not to be in the mix. You know, really, it just shows you how hard it is, no matter how good a form guys are on.
Speaking of hard, Mr. Randolph, I got to assume what a hard drive out of Magnolia Lane for Justin Rose, looking over to the passenger seat and not seeing a green jacket.
Well, his tournament was so unique. You know, two over after his first, 11, no, his first seven. And he played, or his first six. Well, whatever the case, he played the opening round to the incredible tune of 65. But he was two over in that round, and he played his last 11 holes 9 under par. I'm going to say that again. He played his last 11 9 under, and then he shoots back to back even par rounds. And then was two over once again, where he started before he went on the birdie barrage. You know, Justin wasn't necessarily in good form, had not played for a month, talked about the work he put in and really the benefit. But if you really look at his golf tournament, it was those 11 holes that brought him to that 65 in round one. And he never really did anything afterwards. He hung. He stayed in the picture, gave himself a chance, but obviously couldn't fire on Sunday. I think what he takes away is a missed opportunity, but a positive performance in what had been becoming kind of a downward trend. So maybe it'll be very good for him the rest of the way in 2021.
Give me the Jay Randolph focus on Brooks Koepka. We were led to the impression that he wasn't going to play, just had the knee operation, and then all of a sudden he shows up.
I didn't understand it necessarily, but, you know, and then he started off looking like he might be a part of it initially in the opening round. And you know, I never really understood. It didn't seem like if you're not healthy enough to win a match, you and I both have the utmost respect for Tiger Woods. If Tiger didn't think he could win a golf tournament, he wouldn't play. If he didn't think he could win that final day at Torrey, he wouldn't have played. That's the kind of guy he is. And it just surprised me a little that Brooks was giving it a go when maybe he shouldn't have, but to each his own. And he tried, but it didn't work, and he's going to have to prove to a lot of people again that he gets over this injury. And is this going to be lingering for him, as it seems like the injuries are for Jason Day, that they linger and he can't get past them? I hope not, because he certainly is one of the most impressive players we've seen and great at majors, Brooks Koepka.
Well, if he's a mystery, the next name is the ultimate mystery. Nobody understood him arriving at Augusta, calling it a par 67 at one point this year. And I'm talking about Bryson DeChambeau. Went power game, turned off the power game. Very confused young man at this point.
Well, you know, and somebody told me the other day, they said, well, you know, Augusta doesn't let them use those greens books like they do on the regular tour. I said, just stop, will you? Stop. You know, I still think at some point, just as you and I talked about leading in, that he may figure it out. This mad scientist of golf may figure it out, or he may figure it out 1 week and not figure it out for 6 years. I don't know. You know, he's a hard guy to measure in terms of when it's going to be right, when he's going to fire, because you never seem to know. But clearly, he has not figured out the Augusta National Golf Club, because you would think with those par fives and the way a guy like him could take advantage of them, he certainly would play better. But he's also making too many mistakes, and, you know, the putting can get you at Augusta.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, many players will be taking a week off to get ready for the next big set of tournaments, but almost half of the Masters field will be playing at Harbortown Golf Links in Hilton Head in the RBC Heritage. Jay, talk to us a little bit about Harbortown, and do you like the course? Do you not like the course?
I love it. Great old school classic Pete Dye design. Smallest greens on tour, essentially, a year in, year out. You got to putt well. You got to drive the ball well. You've got that 18th hole that everybody knows so well, Calabogie Sound. You know, it's a classic event on the PGA Tour, and you usually see pretty strong winners, like last year's defending champion, Webb Simpson. You've got Abe Anser playing. You got Kuchar, who's always played well there. You got DJ playing in his home state, the Palmetto State. Daniel Berger, Bobby, you mentioned all those guys coming from, really good crew coming from the Masters. Stuart Sink, who showed life going back to Augusta off his recent success. In fact, I think he finished in the top 12 to get him the invite back, did Stuart Sink. So, and Will Z, the thrill. Will the thrill going to try and follow up his great finish at Augusta with a win at the RBC. So the beat keeps going, Bob. They move from Augusta up a little bit north to Hilton Head, and you know, it won't be long before they'll be at Kiawa.
All right, before I let you go, Mr. Randolph, stellar work as usual. Will the thrill, will he shine or will he not at Hilton Head?
DraftKings-wise, I really like Cam Smith again. I think he's just a consistent performer. He loves Augusta. Played, you know, he didn't get off to a really good start, but played pretty decent the last three rounds. Watch out for Ian Poulter, because his game is back. And also, I think Corey Connors being in the mix last week, giving him a little bit of a boost going this week. So good luck with your DraftKings team. And Bob and I will be back next week to wrap up the RBC Heritage. Everybody have a great week.